line when he noticed an elderly lady in front of him, and she kept looking back at him, looking back at him. It was kind of awkward, and finally he said, "Why are you staring at me?" The woman said, "I'm sorry, but it's just that you look like my son who recently died." The young man said, "I'm sorry to hear that. Is there anything I can do for you?" And the woman said, "Actually, there is. As I leave, if you would say goodbye, Mom, it would make me feel so much better because I need the closure." He said, I'd be glad to do that for you." As the older woman was leaving, he called out, "Goodbye, Mother." And after unloading his cart, the bill came to $247.50. And he's thinking, "How can that be?" He asked the clerk, "I only purchased a few items." And the clerk replied, "Your mother said that you were paying for her." Sometimes we can be fooled into thinking something is true when it's not. This can be the case concerning who really is the author of the created universe. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you love us and care about all the things that are impacting our lives. Our confidence lies in your faithfulness to us and the world that you've created. Our life's prayer is that you would use us for the glory of your kingdom, both now and throughout eternity. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm starting to preach in a new book in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. And so that's where we'll begin today, Genesis 1, verse 1 to 5. Ernie will have that up in a second. You can follow along as I go through the text. Genesis 1, verse 1 to 5. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and earth, the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. When you start reading a letter or a book, where do you start? Most of us would start at the beginning to give us a context for the body and the conclusion of the work. I had a roommate who used to read the first couple pages of a new book, and then he'd turn to the center of the book and read for a while, and then he'd turn to the end of the book and read. I said, "What are you doing?" I thought it would ruin the ending. He said he did it because he wanted to see if the book was worth reading. The start of the Bible begins with the book of Genesis, or if you will, the book of beginnings. From the start of the world, people have always had questions about where things have started from. Where did we come from? If we can answer some of these questions, it may also answer things like where we're going. Have you ever done one of those family genealogy tree type things? It's funny how you can go back generations and find physical characteristics that are just part of your family's DNA. Sometimes this even comes out in mannerisms. One of my sons has mannerisms similar to one of his uncles. On my grandmother's side of the family, there was carpenter after carpenter for over 100 years. Everything was going fine until it came to me. I am not a carpenter. I have no meticulous skill whatsoever. I wonder what it was like when Alexander Graham Bell made the first light bulb, or where Henry Ford had a car that actually worked, or when Orville and Wilbur Wright were on their maiden flight, lifting them off the ground without breaking their necks. I bet there was anticipation, excitement, fear, uncertainty, and hope. Was it finally going to turn out the way they envisioned it would? But what if someone recorded some of the initial movements or periods of history, where there was something created from merely a spoken word? It might well answer some of our questions about why we're here, our intended purpose. So we turn to the book of Genesis, to hear what God has said about the early part of our world and our existence as the human race. Verse 1, it starts by saying, in the beginning, God. So if you ever wondered who's the author of this incredible world and its creation, it's God. I know that there may be some in the scientific community that have come up with other theories of chance and time that takes God out of the equation. Often we do this because we don't want to be responsible or accountable to anyone. We want to be the captains of our own ship. We want to be able to do whatever we want in life as long as it doesn't hurt anyone and there's happy ever after. That happens all the time, doesn't it? What is the law of thermodynamics? Is that everything runs down. And if we're honest, this is the case of our own world. Pollution, famine, earthquakes, tsunamis, droughts, wars, sin, and we can go on and on. It takes more faith to believe that everything just happened to come together by chance, and it somehow works together in harmony with each other. Some things we might take for granted are simple things, like the Earth's distance from the sun. If it was further away, we would freeze. If it was closer, we'd be fried like crispy bacon. When we discuss the beginning of our world and humanity, I'm not so concerned how God brought this about as I am that he is the author of it all. In the beginning of time, he created. The most important part to catch was our beginning started with God and God alone by his design. Verse 1 continues, God created the heavens and the earth. The idea is forming something out of nothing. The very words of God giving life. In our lives, we can make things by being creative. In art, in music, machinery, athletic ability, imagination, and on. But we're never able to create without the raw material already being in place. We're imaginative and creative with what has already been placed in our world and in our minds. The Lord God creates out of nothing things that are good. Verse 2, the earth was formless and void, and the darkness covered the face of the deep, while wind from God swept over the face of the waters. The wind of God being the very breath of God. The Lord begins moving this here and that over there, much like you would arrange your living room furniture. He is present. He is active, separating, gathering, creating order out of chaos. When our world and lives are in chaos, God can bring order to it. It says the wind of God or the Spirit of God is hovering over, sweeping over the waters. There's an anticipation of what God is going to do next. There's a comfort that he is watching over creation like a mother to its newborn chicks. Verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Again, creating structure from chaos. Could you imagine the power of God's spoken word? If you've ever tried doing things at night, like driving a tractor, or weeding the garden, or trying to find your kids, these activities are often easier when it's light out. I can remember when we would be doing work at night on the farm, and all the lights from the barnyard and the poles and the pole by the house was shut off for the night. Then I would try to run as fast as I could from the barn to the house in complete darkness, even attempting to jump over gates. I imagined a hand from out of the darkness was going to grab me. No hand ever did grab me, but that didn't mean the potential was always there for it to happen. Light is revealing, while darkness keeps things hidden. Verse 4, and God saw the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. It's important to recognize that everything that God makes is good, including you. Someone once said, God doesn't make junk. Sometimes the value of things, our own value, gets mixed up and confused because we often are comparing and competing with each other. We want to learn to celebrate our lives physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Verse 5 concludes this section saying, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. John Walton suggests that the creation here is not simply just physical light and darkness, but also the idea of time. The world is in an ordered system. Would now have a consistent darkness evening and light daytime. Once again, God takes chaos and creates order. The one who names something has dominion or ownership over. Who gave you your name? In my case, when I'd been born, I was given the name Mark. But by the time I left the hospital, my name had been changed to Lewis to honor my uncle and my grandfather Ludwig. You probably have a similar story. Not that you're named Lewis. Does anyone here know Dave Thomas? He's the founder of Wendy's. Do you know where the name Wendy came from? It was the name of his fourth child, a daughter named Melinda. But when Melinda was little, she could not pronounce certain letters of the alphabet, L's, R's, Q's, and E's. So she was given the nickname Wendy. The one creating and owning the business, Dave Thomas, did the naming. Don't underestimate when God gives something a name. Isaiah 43:7, it says, bring all who claim me as their God, for I've made them for my glory. It is I who created them. God has spoken our world into being. He has spoken us into being. The county hired a new person to paint paint fresh yellow lines down the middle road of country roads. If it was us, we'd just hire Troy after he painted yellow lines in our parking lot. The first day, the man painted an astonishing 10 miles of road with new double yellow lines down the middle. It was a record. No one had ever painted 10 miles in a day before. Boss, very impressed. The next day, 7 miles, that was okay. The third day, 5 miles, that was not good. And the fourth day, only 1 mile of yellow line. The boss had no choice. He had to pull him in and they had to have a conversation. The man began to tell him that painting of the lines was getting more difficult every day. And his progress was becoming less every day because he was getting further and further away from his paint bucket. I think sometimes in our desire to be independent and self-reliant, we've wandered too far away from our Creator. The Bible Knowledge Commentary notes the following pattern in the day of creation. First, God speaks into being. Second, the impact or the cause of effect of the spoken world, basically everything that was created. Third, the affirmation by God that it's all good. Fourth, God naming day and night. And fifth, the numbering of each day. It does not take a lot of faith on my part to believe the beginning of our created world began with God. Throughout Scripture, God is referred to as the Alpha and the Omega. That's the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, the beginning and the end. When we are in this beautiful world, we see an intelligent design. Someone who's left his fingerprints all over creation. And this is no other than the Lord God. Listen to the words of Romans 1, 19 to 23. They know the truth about God because he made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God has made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his internal power, and his divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused, claiming to be wise. They instead became fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Isn't this our world? We always get into trouble when we try to play the role of God in our lives and try to do life without the Creator. God has always been. The Bible never questions God's existence. At the same time, it points very clearly to the start of our created world. I don't know if the world was created in a literal 6 days. I'm not so concerned even how God decided to bring creation into being, possibly a mature world, or even some process of things evolving. But the thing we must not miss, the central point of Genesis was, in the beginning, God. John 1 passage that was read earlier, it speaks to Jesus always being, ever being, eternal being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in the creation of the world. He is the author. He is the creator. He is the inventor of all that we have and all that is before us. To deny his existence takes way more faith than to believe everything that has been created came out of nothing on its own. This created majestic order that we see every day of our lives. Such belief seems more than far-fetched. With this framework, we're left with a world and a destiny that is spinning out of control. I want to propose that there is a loving God who created everything around us for our enjoyment, that he has created each one of us to be in relationship with him, that we do not need to fear all the uncertainty, the wars, the earthquakes, the tornadoes, because the Lord is in control. He is the unseen hand procuring the destiny of the world, watching over, protecting, guiding. Here's how Psalm 19, 1-4 describes it. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, their words to all the world. But God's involvement does not take away our responsibility in caring for all that he's placed in our hands to do. We are caretakers, gardeners, to protect and care for this wonderful created world that reflects God's goodness and love. So what can we take from this passage for our day-to-day lives? First, recognize that God has made this beautiful world with its mountains and oceans and forests and skies and stars and northern lights and rainbows. An appreciation on our part to recognize what he's done, what he is doing, what he will do. And that at that point in our appreciation, worshiping the God of the universe, the creator of our lives. Also, we are not gods, and the Lord is other than us. He is the creator, and we are the created. Kenneth Barker, the Hebrew word for create is used only of the divine, only of God, never of human activity. God creates the heaven and the earth. Secondly, do all that you can do to protect the beauty of the created world all around us. Everything cannot be about squeezing the last dollar out of things. Remember, the created world reflects what God is like to your neighbor, to your coworker, your family member, your schoolmate, to the glory of God who reigns forever and ever. Be wise and diligent caretakers of our world. God can redeem and heal the broken chaos of our lives and our world. Are we trusting on the Creator, or are we trusting in ourselves? Let's pray. Jesus, we want to acknowledge that you make good things, and the world we live in is incredible. Help us to acknowledge you in all our ways. recognizing that you spoke all this into being to bring us enjoyment, to reflect on your wonderful character and your divine design. We want to thank you for what a wonderful God you are to us and our world. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
A single mind, I have one heart desire to know the one my soul in heart adore. I have one single aim to bring you holy praise, to shower all my love here at your feet. Jesus, you are all I want to need. Jesus, you are all I long to please. My portion and my price, my joy and my delight, I found in you. Joy and my delight I found in you.
So, oh, is this on? Nope. I'll give it a minute. This morning, I'll just start talking and we'll see what happens. This morning, we're going to celebrate communion. And so, first, a couple of instructions before we begin. We have two stations on either side that have bread, gluten-free bread, and juice. Once you've received the juice and the bread, you can return to your seat and we'll partake together. I want to begin this morning, or the communion this morning, with a reading from Luke. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, while the disciples celebrate Passover, Jesus institutes what we now call communion by placing himself at the center of the meal as its meaning. But immediately after he instituted communion, a dispute arose amongst the disciples. And so I'll just read that section for you. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority lord it over them because they are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must be like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one at the table, but I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. We see in this passage that Jesus confers and establishes a kingdom that looks radically different from the ones we see around us. At the heart of Jesus' kingdom is a table, and at that table, questions of greatness are not only inverted, but confounded, because the one who established it came not to be served, but to serve. As our apostle says in the letter to the Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. As we approach the Lord's table this morning, we need to realize that we are citizens of an entirely different kingdom. Spirit of the living God, come among your people. Make Christ present to us just as we are present to each other. And help us to be Christ to those who dwell in darkness. In Jesus' name. Amen. We come to this table to follow him, to become like him, to encounter him and to love him. So all you who desire to follow, to become like, and to love Jesus, come to his table. It is not I who invite you, but him. So please come forward to receive the bread and the juice. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Christ's body broken for you. Let's partake of the bread together. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. You are the bread of life, Jesus. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And we say, "Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Christ's blood shed for you. Let's partake of the juice together." We thank you, Jesus, for your death and resurrection. We place our hope in you alone. We follow you, we proclaim you as Lord, and we expectantly await your return. Amen. On the first Sunday of every month, we do a benevolent offering. People will come around now at this time to collect it. The peace of Christ be with you all.
I have a couple announcements, benediction, we'll do one more song, you'll be dismissed. Things that are coming up, not May, but in June, to look forward to. We're going to have our high school grad church day, we're going to have our church picnic, and so those things will be coming in June. Just things to remind you now is the music night that was announced earlier. If you have more questions about it, you can ask Thea, but if people are interested in music or want to experience more or are part of the teams, they're all welcome to come on that evening. As well as you want prayer today, there'll be somebody in the back corner that'll pray for you. As you go, go under the sign of the cross, knowing that God makes good things. He made us. He made our world. I know at times when things are hard or difficult, it's hard not just to be stuck in the darkness of things. But remember, our lives can affirm what God does is good by how we choose to live and celebrate in who he made us and celebrate the created world around us. Amen.
Please stand if you're willing and able for our last song. Thank you. Have a good week, everyone.